Journey with Judy. Honest, open, transparent. It's hot.
There's no such thing as perfect people. There's no such thing as a perfect life. So come as you are, broken and scarred. Lift up your heart and be amazed and be changed by a perfect God.
Good morning. Thank you for choosing to be right here on Lake 96.1 with Journey with Judy. And the drama with Judy literally continues. My friends, as you know, I am not a good driver, and I'd like to blame that on my lack of eyesight. I think I told you a few weeks ago, I went to the doctor and he said, you know, that I have zero peripheral vision, and he adjusted my eyes. And to make a long story short, I went back for a follow-up visit. Now, first I got to tell you about this doctor. It's Dr. Webb in Janesville. I suggest anyone and everyone, even if you do not have a problem with your eyesight, you have got to go there and feel the love from this man and his staff. Dr. Webb, phenomenal. Carrie, phenomenal. Tammy, they are just the best. They are these Christian, God-loving people that make you feel like you're in their home when you come for an appointment. Oh, and it also helps that he knows something about optometry because I was there for this eye visit. Anyway, so we went there, and of course we travel as a family. So it's Bob, myself, and the two girls who are currently home. We all had appointments on this particular day. Well, what's really cool about Dr. Webb is he's very in tune to, you know, his patients, right? So he's proactive rather than reactive. And so he's always thinking about how he can better serve you and how you can have a better life by improving your vision. And so, you know, here I am with my four eyes wearing my glasses. And he made mention of the fact that he said the C word that is really like a bad word in my house. He said, "Have you ever considered contacts?" Okay. In unison, the whole hair family that was there said, absolutely not. Here's why. Because I had contacts a while back. I had contacts a few years ago, maybe about 7 years ago. And here was the problem with my contacts. I could not put them in and out. So my friends, take a wild guess who put my contacts in and out. Yes, it is the greatest man alive, my husband for 25 years, Bob Hare. So Bob literally had to put my contacts in and out for such a period of time and frustration that we decide, forget the contacts, we are just going to be blind. And so there I went for many years just being literally, legally blind. Okay, so when he brought up the C word, it was like, no, she is not having contacts. So, of course, he asked why. He was so convinced that this time could be better than last time, which, of course, was a perfect segue for last week's show, that this time trying contacts and being successful with contacts would be better than the last time of me wearing contacts. To make a long story short, my friends, I am farsighted, which means you can't see up close. And so it got me thinking about, you know, just how important it is to be open-minded and have a different perspective. And when someone believes you can do something and they are seeing right through a clearer lens, a contact lens or a pair of glasses, when they can see your life in a different way, they can offer you solutions that your experiences and your belief system just can't afford, then you got to listen up and you got to do what this guy said. And here's what he said. Next time can be better than last time. And all you got to do is own it. So let's talk about what that guy meant. Dr. Webb from Janesville, Wisconsin. I'm shouting out, giving them the love. They are amazing. You're journeying with Judy right here on Lake 96.1. So welcome back. So the biggest accomplishment for Judy Hare in 2018 is not that I'm traveling without taking pills. It's not that. I mean, I could list 100 areas of progress for me, and I can always make it about me, of course. But the absolute highlight, over the top, best accomplishment is that I can put in my own contacts. And not only can I put them in, my friends, okay, but I can also take them out. And here's why. Because if we're looking back on our show from last week and looking forward to what's going to be, you know, this week's show, the reality is we do draw from the past, and we draw from the past. And when we think one of two things, like next time is going to be better than last time. But honestly, if we draw from an experience that wasn't so positive, we are very quick to believe, right, that we do not have the ability to maybe make next time better than last time. And so here's what's so cool about Dr. Webb. Like, he is, okay, he has many characteristics that my husband does not typically on a daily basis possess, okay? And this is not a diss on Bob. It's just a celebration of Dr. Webb. Because he is this patient, kind, like, says all the right things in the moment. Like, he was like the biggest and best cheerleader as he talked to me as if I were 3 years old, and he was coaching me through being able to put my contact in. Now, my friends, I was crying in the doctor's office. Bob was outside the room, like peering his head in, like trying to offer his insight of how to get this contact in and out. The reality was his belief in me, this doctor, his patience with me, and the steps that he laid out very clearly for me to take in order to ensure this time would be better than last time is exactly what came to pass, right? So if we're looking back on last week's show, what we were saying is, like, there's times where people will judge you as a tool. Like, they just think you're a tool because, honestly, you just don't have the tools to be certain and navigate your life in a way that next time could be better than last time. Because here's what we think. We think, let me recap a little bit about last week's show just to get you up to snuff. Experience does not make us wiser, right? It just makes us poorer, but it doesn't make us wiser. Experience without reflection and evaluating that experience is pretty much an indicator that next time will be very much like last time. The other thing we talked about last week was, since I know better, I'll do better. Not necessarily, because commitment and sincerity do not necessarily put us in a place of being able to follow through. Okay. Knowing better does not mean we have the ability to do better. And so if we don't have the tools, people are looking at us like, what a tool. Like, when is that person ever going to learn, right? The other number three myth that we talked about last week was time was against us, right? When we feel like we've lost time, we've wasted time, we've got to hurry up and get right what we seem to get so wrong. You know, in every area of our life, we feel like the clock is ticking. And here's the deal. When it comes to pain, when it comes to regret, when it comes to doing something a second time around, time is absolutely unequivocally working in our favor, right? Because when we're doing stuff out of pain, whether it's physical, emotional, financial, relational, you name it, it all applies. We tend to be just a little bit more self-absorbed and would not navigate things the same way as when we have this clear, focused vision, okay? Which now I have, because I have like almost perfect vision. Now, people are still giving me the finger. I'm still getting a lot of looks when I park sideways in a spot. So I will not say that my vision has helped anything about my driving, but it has helped me believe that next time indeed could be better than last time in many situations that we think could never be any different. But here's the deal. Dr. Webb said it. Next time can be better than last time, but you got to own it. This man made it perfectly clear that I, at 52 or 3, I think every week I change my age. I think I'm somewhere around 52 or 53. I have got to own the fact that these are my eyes and my vision, and I am capable and competent and should feel confident putting contact lenses in and out of my own eyes. But here's the deal. I'm a blamer and I'm a shamer. And that is typically what we do when we are hoping next time will be better than last time. What has to happen is we have got to stop blaming, right? Because we are all obviously the common denominator in the situations that we find ourselves in. So when we do that blame game, okay, which we all do, I think it's human nature to point the finger and blame and not typically turn the lens inward and accept responsibility. When we do that, it's not possible that next time can be better than last time, because not only do we have to own it, but we ultimately have to rethink it. And then finally, we have to release it. So this is going to be another 2 weeks of talking about this topic of next time being better than last time, because it can't just be that you heard one show and made a decision that next time is going to be better than last time, because without owning it, and honestly, it's almost never my fault. It is just almost never my fault. I can tell you for sure, it is never my kids' fault. When they are in trouble or they are being reprimanded or confronted about something, it's always he did, she would, whatever. So my friends, if you are on to a next time, you're in the process of a next time career, job, marriage, relationship. Maybe you're starting a new school year. Maybe you're just pushing the rewind button on your moral compass or your financial fiscal responsibility. You're just wanting to start over. Do not repeat your past mistakes. Do not have cycles of defeat. And the way you do that is that you recognize that it wasn't unfair and it wasn't unreasonable and it wasn't somebody else's fault. So your best bet for a successful future is to own your share of the past. One of the quotes my kids could tell you, if you just started it by saying the present, they would fill in the rest. The present will someday be in the past, and the past will always be present in your future. My friends, this is a biblical principle, and it's like our responsibility to own those things that we do have control over, we do have choices over, that God is calling us to look at, to focus in, to put on a new pair of glasses. So our vision, even our peripheral vision, brings everything into sight so we can be accountable and we can be responsible, and we cannot keep doing the blame game. You're journeying with Judy right here on Lake 96.1, and we'll be back on the other side of the break. Thanks to Greg Kunis at Kunis Country Auto Group.
So let my life be the proof of your love. Let my love look like you and what you made of. How you lived, how you died, love is sacrifice. So let my life be the proof of your love.
All right, so welcome back. You're journeying with Judy right here on Lake 96.1. And I am so grateful that I am seeing, my friends, I am seeing things from a different perspective. And the lens has been, it's like cleared off. And I can see things that I typically wouldn't have seen as clearly. And that's what we're talking about, not only last week, this week, but in the future weeks. Because here's the deal. We all want to believe that next time is going to be better than last time. And so what do we need to do? What has to be different in order to ensure that? And today we're honing in on the topic of the blame game and owning your stuff. Now, my friends, we come by this naturally, right? For the very first story we know from Scripture, if you remember, is in the garden, when Adam and Eve kind of fell short, right? They kind of fell short. God made it clear what they were supposed to be doing. And for whatever reason, they chose not to do what God said was, you know, the best possible outcome for them. And as a result of that very beautiful story, we come to realize that we come by blaming quite naturally, right? So that song just said, let my life be proof of your love, right? So if we are living proof that God can restore what is broken and God can give us a new start, then how do we restart, right? Well, we don't do what Adam and Eve did, because if you remember the story, there was one darn rule. There was literally one rule and they broke it, right? Don't eat from that tree. And of course, what did they do? They absolutely had to eat from that tree. Now, if you go back into that story, here's what didn't happen. When God came looking for them, which he always comes looking for us, and when he came looking for them, Adam was not the man he was supposed to be, right? He did not step up and say, it's on me, I take full responsibility, it was me who told her. No, he started blaming, Eve started blaming, everyone was just doing some blaming and shaming. And before God went looking for them, if you remember, what they did was they hid. Right? My friends, when we are not making the best possible choices in any area of our life, it is typical that we hide. It is typical not only that we blame, but that we hide, because we're filled with this thing called guilt and shame. And depending upon how Catholic you are is how much guilt and shame you might have. The reality is when we get caught, we respond typically the same way. I am sorry. But then there's a whole other backstory about I am sorry because if she did and he didn't and I wouldn't and I didn't know. And the reality is we do know what it is that we're supposed to be doing most oftentimes. We are called, my friends, to make the next best decision, right? And part of making the next best decision is owning our part of the past, right? To have a fresh start, we got to be willing to own our part. And here's the thing. When it falls apart, typically, and I know you can relate to this because I think it's just what we do. It's just so much easier to tell a big story and create this whole story behind why we did what we did. And then here's the thing. People feel sorry for us because they hear this story that not only did we make up, but then we come to believe and we stand on that story, which allows us to continue to hide, right? Eve said, it's not my fault. If you do not pause, my friends, and take responsibility, you will never be able to blame your way into a better future. You will never be able to blame your way into a better future. You can blame your way into the future. We know those people. We might be married to them. We might work with them. We might have given birth to them. And let's be honest, it might be us. But if we're going to be honest, open, and transparent, we have got to admit that blame enables us to smuggle our issues, into the future. And then that's what we bring into our relationships, into our job, into our finances, into every area of our life. We bring those, we smuggle them in as if it's a big secret, right? Instead of just saying, what was my part so I can have that fresh start? So here's the thing. When we own our part, it takes the pressure off. It's almost like a relief. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you got caught at something or you caught somebody at something. And the reality is there's a sense of relief. Like, okay, I don't have to hide. I don't have to hide anymore. But there's most oftentimes there is that story that we want to make up versus just owning our part, right? There's a scripture verse that says, blessed are the pure in heart. The pure in heart means we see clearly. It means we clean out that stuff in order to open up the vision that we could live a life that resembles God's love, that we could see our part and move towards that restart, that we absolutely have an opportunity, that the future could be bigger than the past, and that next time can not only be better than last time, but it can bear witness to what God has done in a heart that is willing to restart and accept blame, right? We will make better decisions always when we are not hiding, when we have clarity, and when we make peace with our past. I don't know why I'm getting all choked up. Maybe because this is my story and it resonates so profoundly with not only me, but the people that I love, that when we make peace with our past, it just requires us to own our peace of the past. Let me repeat that. In order to make peace with our past, it requires us to own a piece of our past. It means we got to resolve some stuff. We got to recognize some stuff. We got to embrace and admit some stuff. It's not supposed to be easy. It's supposed to be purposeful. It's supposed to make us ultimately better people who can make better decisions, because we're living in the light and we're seeing with this 2020 vision about what is God's plan. And it is always that our future is bigger than our past. So if our homework today is to draw a circle as if it's a pie, and we were willing, just for today, after listening to today's show, whether you physically do this or you do this in your own mind and heart, that you draw that circle and you just take any piece, any portion of it, regardless of the embarrassment factor, the shame factor, whatever those things are that are definitely not from God, right, that cause you to blame. And just accept that this one little piece may have been you. I'm telling you, it'll open up the possibilities of you filling in those blanks, starting with I statements instead of he or she or they statements, because then you'll be able to fill in the blank that says, like, I should have called a cab. I should have not made that purchase. I should have said I was sorry. I should have not gone. When we can start the sentences with I and we can accept responsibility for our piece of the past, we will be working towards a peace that will only come from doing exactly that. Because, my friends, if next time is going to be better than last time, you have got to own it. And I am digging that. So if you're not going to own it, then keep it hot. Honest, open, and transparent. Peace out.